A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, a big thank you to our good partners at Horicon Bank, the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. We are in the middle of this wonderfully weird weather season, right? This pattern that, you know, it's not quite spring. It's not quite deep winter. It's cold, not too cold, sometimes warm. But no matter what, it is cold plunge and hot sauna weather. For sure. And thinking about that, I'm like, all right, who can I talk to put together a show around sauna and wellness and retail and residential real estate? So you're really going to enjoy our two guests today. James Sierparski is one of the owners at Hot Spell Sauna at McKinley Marina on Lake Michigan. There are saunas popping up all over the state. You have Heat Haven Sauna Park in Wauwatosa. Eau Claire has this wonderful place called Heat Retreat. Door County has a place called Kiln. It's like a floating sauna on Lake Michigan in Bailey's Harbor. People just are sprinting from the room into the lake after the sauna, really getting that kind of holistic feeling of hot and cold mixed. Madison has a really cool place called Sauna Day, full-on bathhouse right in the city there. Kindled Community Sauna has mobile sessions across southwest Wisconsin. Stevens Point, a great place called Nordic Night. And then another place right here in the city, right here in Milwaukee, Hive Wellness and Social. They have layered breath work, coaching, and the contrast therapy. The contrast therapy meaning you got the hot in the sauna and the cold in the cold plunge. They put that all together. But one of the marquee spots is Hot Spell Sauna at McKinley Marina. It is this just wonderfully curated space, couple saunas, nice bathhouse, a good community space, and then this special cold plunge area that they have roped off in Lake Michigan. Highly recommended. But I'm guessing you're thinking, all right, I don't know. Is this for me? How do I do this as a first-time sauna goer? I'm going to answer all those questions for you because the third spaces of community building and business building are happening around saunas right here in Wisconsin. James Sierparski is one of the owners of Hot Spell Sauna. He'll join us in studio. Give us that lay of the land, answer all the questions, and talk about how he built his business. And then, because I think they go together, we're going to talk retail and more with Moshe Katz. Moshe is one of the owners of Yellowwood. If you're not familiar with Yellowwood, it is a wonderful retailer on Silver Spring in Whitefish Bay. I'm going to call it, and maybe he's not going to 100% agree, but I'm going to call it a local REI. A really cool mix of outdoor products, high-end products, approachable products for outdoor use. He's done a wonderful job over the last 11 years of building community through retail, but it's time to move on. So at the end of March, the store is closing. So we're going to talk to Moshe about his trials and tribulations and all the joy that comes with building a local retailer in Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. That's all up next. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Premium outdoor gear and apparel retailer Yellowwood is going to close its doors in beautiful Whitefish Bay after a wonderful 11-year run. Moshe and Deborah Katz, co-owners, Susan Maskett, Marty Styling, co-founded the business in 2015, really built a passionate, loyal following with its hands-on approach, experimentation, outdoor sidewalk sales, and a whole lot more. The business takes its name from Robert Frost's Road Not Taken, the poem, of course, that begins with two roads diverged in a yellow wood. Moshe Katz joins us in studio. Moshe, I know you're a busy guy. I appreciate you taking time to be here.
Love being here with you. Thank you for doing this.
Of course. So Yellowwood is one of your many business children, if you will. You're closing the doors at the end of March. How's it feel after 11 years in hyper-local retail?
I've jokingly said that being in retail for 11 years is like dog years. It's like 77 years and anything else. So it's bittersweet. Yeah. There's a side of it that is we've taken lots of journeys. We've been the Yellowwood. We've been the place where people have been able to come to choose a different route to take, not just in on their adventure, but in life. We didn't just sell stuff for you to go to Patagonia. We sold to make sure that the boots you wore, you could use walking with your dog.
Because for people that haven't been there, it's really kind of a local REI. Is that a good explanation?
We don't use that.
No, okay. I am just painting a picture.
We are. We are a local outdoor gear shop with high-end quality, many non-known brands. Or lesser known brands.
Yeah.
Best quality, but lesser known.
And really a gathering space of sorts. I mean, you made it a place for travelers, for kids, if you're a high-end enthusiast or if you're just kind of looking for a great pair of shorts. What kind of made it that sense of cool and space? I mean, how does that mix come together from a retail side?
So it financially, unsuccessfully, personally, socially, for the sake of the business, of friends, of what we gained, of who enjoyed what, phenomenally successful. Okay. It started because I was tired of not being able to get what I wanted. When I could travel someplace else, I could find it. We couldn't find it in Milwaukee. So what happens when you don't carry X, Y, and Z brands? What can you fill it with? And those spaces made it work. Yeah. Then, actually, when we took over the space, there was a former shop that was in there.
Okay.
Was a design studio.
Hmm.
And they actually had this amazing coffee machine system in it. And I said, well, can I keep that coffee machine? Well, it's not ours. You have to buy it. I said, well, how much can it cost? So I said, well, $15,000. I thought, you know what? I don't need to spend $15,000 in order to make this place approachable. And I thought, what is it going to take to just do that? So we had the kind of music playing in the background. When you walk into the shop, especially when I was there, Bill Withers was playing. Music that when you walked in, James Taylor, people sang the music. They kind of hummed along.
You create the experience.
Make the experience. And if you have people that know what they're doing, know what they're talking about, really know the products well, and don't just banter on about it, but actually share how they can make their lives better by buying the product, you get there.
So why is now the right time to step away? Even though, you know, the shop still seems like it has a wonderful sense of community and strong identity, why now?
It's exhausting. It's exhausting. And it's one of those things where I think Michael Jordan learned the right way, wrong way. Go at the top. We are at a place now where our reputation is exceptional. We've got phenomenal reviews. We've got unbelievable stories. And the truth is we're tired. We're tired because it is extremely hard being in retail.
Mm-hmm.
Our competition is Amazon. Our competition are as a shop like ours, potentially it's an online service that may be in you know, who knows where. We don't have the capacity to buy enough bulk to be able to have free shipping back and forth. We don't have enough power to go
and you
ahead.
Never started
we never had online
selling online
never.
I mean, you were focused
hyper-focused. We wanted to have your foot literally in front of my face when I'm putting this is not the right shoe for you, please don't buy this, buy something else, or honestly think about something different for you to do with this. So
we're talking with Moshe Katz from Yellowwood. So Moshe, we're watching, and you just mentioned it, the kind of wave of smaller local businesses closing around the region, really around the country. You talked a little bit about the pressures of independent retailers. For someone that's still operating independent retail now, what are your suggestions? Because you want to keep the dream alive and you want to keep going.
I think all of them need to have, and I recognize this about ourselves, you do need to have some kind of an online presence. Even if it's within a niche section of what you do or a way of figuring out how to get it done. There's no question that had we had part of that would have been the difference of 20 to 30% more sales could have kept us in business a little bit longer. And make sure the experience is really worthwhile because we're convinced that retail is still where it's at. It's mom and pop shops. By the way, messaging matters. We need to tell each other, stop buying from the big box stores and start buying locally. Yeah. By the way, I'll say that about restaurants. I'll say that about anything that's owned by a person I can reach out and touch or call is going to make a difference.
Yeah. So that you talked a lot about the high touch experimental shop. People came there for not only community, but for advice. They came for Hanukkah lighting. So whatever you put on from a community standpoint, is that the differentiator in local retail, that experience? And if so, how do you pair it on the revenue side?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
No, that's not fair. I do know how. I didn't have the time or the patience to do it anymore. Hmm. And I think there's a side there that becomes, what does that mean? What does that look like to do it? There were brands we intentionally didn't carry that had we carried, could have made a difference. If you're walking into a store and nothing there looks familiar to you, and you're even wearing one of the brands right now, had we had one or two of those brands in, it would have made a difference. It could have been that, again, that 20, 30% difference. If all I'm doing all day long is introducing you to something new, it's hard to do that for first-time buyers. Mm. Once we got you in the store, once you've had our experience, once you've had those boots on for the hike to whatever you did, or just simply, like I said, to walk your dog, you'll come back.
Yeah.
And they did.
You create that loyalty.
Absolutely.
I'm going to come back because you're a trusted source.
The number of people that came back to our shop, even if not to buy every time, was ridiculously frequent. Yeah. We'd see people weekly, monthly. I mean, it's not just that they came back for the holiday shopping or for the birthday shopping. They came back all the time.
Local retail, local residential real estate, commercial real estate. Moshe Katz joins us in studio. Moshe, when we come back, I'm guessing you're probably not the retire and disappear type just because the store is closing. So I want to see what's next for you. I want to talk about Milwaukee's commercial streets and how they're evolving. And maybe we'll talk politics a little bit because I want to get your take on the governor's election because we have candidates crossing the entire state and see what your stump speech would be as they continue to travel the great state of Wisconsin. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Moshe Katz. Moshe, one of the owners of Yellowwood, wonderful retailer in Whitefish Bay on Silver Spring, involved in a lot of things business-wise, real estate and more. Moshe, closing the doors on your retail business journey at the end of March. You have a favorite story from the last 11 years?
I've shared two actually recently. One is an adorable story about a young boy who comes in with what turns out to be his first girlfriend. And as they're leaving the store, she said best date ever. They were in middle school. Yeah. So that's one cute story. But the other story that was most touching actually happened just recently with a wonderful man who came in our shop, was talking to somebody else, and she directed him to come and talk to me. And he shares that 7+ years ago, he was in the shop with his wife, and she was insisting that he buy a sweater that he really didn't care for. She explained, it's a really good-looking sweater. You'll really love this. It's from a great company, great quality. It's worth it. He finally acquiesces and, in fact, lets her buy him the sweater. She passes away 6 months later. He sells the house. He moves into an apartment. And something happens. He opens his closet door on a first wintry day, and he looks up, and there's a sweater. And he puts his sweater on, and he walks outside, and he goes, I think it was a Starbucks sweater on the corner. And the first person that sees him with his jacket off says, that's a really good-looking sweater. And time after time after time that he wore the sweater, people kept coming up to him and saying, that's a really good-looking sweater.
Yeah.
And he's telling me the story, and by now he's in tears. I'm welling up with tears and thinking this is just such a great story. And then he opens up his jacket, and he's wearing a sweater that he intentionally wore to say goodbye and to thank you.
Nice.
So
that's what it's all about.
That's why we do what
we do. That is what it's all about. So does Yellowwood and the property that you own, does it live on in some other form? I mean, is it events and pop-ups, or are you just selling the building? You're selling other spaces in that area? What's the next phase in terms of the physical space?
So the easiest question to answer is, does Yellowwood live on? I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope people's water bottles and flags and clothing and shoes will last a long time. But other than that, no. There may be one event that we do still do this summer, but other than that, not. I am planning on getting out of everything. I am planning to actually retire fully. I'm selling the balance. I sold my residential properties 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
Planning on selling the rest of the commercial properties. So that will be the end of that. And more time to do more work in the not-for-profit world, more work in other places, which has been extremely rewarding and I hope benefiting others as well.
Yeah. So you've really seen Greater Milwaukee's commercial streets evolve. I mean, right up the street, Bay Shore is turning into much more of a mixed-use development than it once was. What's one thing that you think that public and private leaders need to better understand when it comes to supporting local retail?
You know, it's a really good question. I've had two phenomenal experiences. I was in the Third Ward for the first time in my offices over 30 years ago. Bought a condo office, sold it, bought a building in the Third Ward, was in there for 20 plus years, moved to Whitefish Bay to open Yellowwood to put my offices there, bought other buildings in Whitefish Bay and Silver Spring, and saw the change that took place in the Third Ward from being where the fruits and vegetable vendors were. I'd see at 5 in the morning when we'd get to work, being this vibrant place where the artists were around is a really different place. Twitter is today. Third Ward's awesome. Silver Spring is awesome. Mm-hmm. And yet, what happens when we over-gentrify something? Is there a loss of the original authenticity when that happens? When all you see down the block are the well-known national brands?
Yeah.
Is it missing from the Gloriosas? Is it missing the Schwenke Kassen? Is it missing the Collectivos? Is it missing? I can keep on naming the local stores that make our city so wonderful. How do we keep doing that? And how do we incentivize that at a political level? How do we make it worthwhile?
Well, and whose responsibility is that? Is it all of ours?
It's ours. Yes. It is ours. And I'm not here to beat up on Starbucks, but right. I will say if I have a choice between going to Starbucks or going to Collectivo or going to Anodyne or going to any of these other coffee places, and I don't even drink coffee, I will definitely go to the local ones. And the same thing about restaurants. If I have a choice of where I'm going to go, I would rather do it at Beerline. I would rather do it at Loopy. I would rather do it at the places that I know I can, again, reach out to the owner, shake their hands, and talk to them. If there's a way we can incentivize that, if there's a way we can actually, I don't know if it's a tax change, I don't know what it could be.
Right.
Let's figure out a way of making that happen more.
Well, let's look at that from a piece of political advice, if you will. We have a lot of candidates running for governor, primary coming up in August. Is there something that you'd like to see from your retail and real estate lens added to the political stump speeches?
There's got to be – I don't know tax law enough. I know tax benefits enough. I know spaces that you can actually incentivize people to do something more of. A definition of a small business in America is millions. Many small businesses are not millions. Many small businesses are that $500,000 to $1 million a year, $1 million to $2 million a year. Are there ways we can do something special for that subset of that group, which in many cases, by the way, are the mom and pop ice cream shops.
Right.
I mean, take the whole list of them. And by the way, just because you have four of those shops doesn't mean you're any more successful. In many cases, you're working twice as hard or four times as hard as whatever you are, and it's not necessarily benefiting you anymore. I remember when just before COVID, and I believe it was actually, I think she published it afterwards, Jennifer Bartolotta wrote a spectacular piece about restaurants and about how we have a certain responsibility to do more for our restaurants to succeed. Stop making multiple reservations and only showing up for one of them. Stop leaving a 10% tip. Start doing the kind of things that are really going to make people who are attending feel great, owners feeling great, waiters and waitresses feeling great. Those are the kind of things we can do. Do the same thing in the retail world. Please don't expect me to be able to have enough shoes to supply you with everything you need and then have you give you back free shipping, free whatever. That's a lot.
I mean, it truly does take a village.
And
that is what it's all about. Moshe Katz, one of the co-owners of Yellowwood, closing on Silver Spring right there in beautiful Whitefish Bay at the end of March.
If there's anything left, March 31st.
So Moshe, as you kind of take this next step in your career and personal journey, I want to ask you, define success.
The expression usually is if you love going to work every day, you've never been at work. And the truth is that I've had a lot of days where I've been pulling my hair out going, why am I doing this?
You just shave it like I do every day. It works really well.
But then you get a story like the sweater, or you get a story like the kid in the best date ever. Finding joy in life is really, really easy. And sometimes it's much easier than we give it credit for. And I think that I've employed a ton of people. Yeah. I've sold a lot of joy. It's been one of those experiences where we've given so much money away to not-for-profits through Yellowwood. We've given so much of our time, of our energy. That's unbelievably joyful. And if you can be that guy that doesn't see the cup just half full, but even a quarter full or even an eighth full, success.
Very good. Mosh, all the best in your next steps, and we'll see you at the store for sure. I'm going to be there several times
Beautiful.
During March.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Jeff.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio. Very thankful that you took time out of your day, James, to spend a little bit with us. James Sharparsky is a partner at the Hot Spell Sauna. James, I was down at McKinley Marina yesterday, walked around, took it all in. An amazing space, and I'm really excited to kind of get to the root of what you do each and every day. But first things first, James, I need to settle something. What's the proper way to pronounce S-A-U-N-A? Give it to me.
Jeff, first of all, thank you for letting me come in here. I don't know if I can close this debate for
okay,
you.
All right.
I think we all know what the proper pronunciation is. That being said, most Americans are comfortable not pronouncing things the way that they may have come originally.
True, and especially
formed.
In Wisconsin and Milwaukee, we kind of have our own way
absolutely.
Too, right?
And so that conversation always leads me into being, I don't really care what you call it. What I want you to do is come have the experience and show up. We are fortunate to have staff that's very experienced and will correct people. I just want people to be comfortable and show up and have a great time.
So I can say sauna.
I can say sauna.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I say as long as I experience the tranquility of it all, right?
Just call it the hot box if you want to call it the hot box, whatever works for you. But it is, and we're very fortunate to have a partner in the parks to have the platform that we have at McKinley Marina to take in this experience, which just enhances it. There's stunning views in every direction that you look at McKinley. We're bringing a lot of people to the park that don't normally have access there. They don't have a boat, so they don't use that facility, and they're realizing the beautiful space it is.
I mean, truly entrepreneurialism and community building all wrapped up into one with this wellness bubble over it. So for people that haven't been to McKinley Marina and seen what Hot Spell Sauna is all about, give us the experience in your own words.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we start with just what our mission is of rest and recovery. We try to create a space that provides the opportunity for you to gather yourself, rest, and recover. But it's also an open canvas. So we say it's not like a roller coaster. You don't have to get on and get off at the end. You can choose how long you're in the heat, how long you're in the cold. If you decide to go in the water, or you just want to sit outside by the fireplace or the fire pit and explore, you know, enjoy the views. It really is pick your own time, your space, because at the end of the day, you have to follow your body. If you get too hot, listen to your body. Step outside. If you're trying to challenge yourself to what cold really is, and you feel like you're too cold, just step out of that cold. I say it's like when you've shoveled too long, you've realized it, you got that internal shiver, time to step out of the cold.
So, James, what's your kind of personal origin story with sauna and cold plunge? What got you hooked in? How'd you get to this venture?
Sure. There's two layers to that question. The first is my introduction, which happened when I was about 13 years old in West Michigan on a country property, which is a very familiar origin story for most Wisconsinites, is going up north, having a sauna. Coincidentally, it was the first time that my buddies snuck a couple beers out of Doc's cooler
and
the sauna and the beer thing.
Right?
And then we would plunge in a little trout pond that was off a trout stream. The rebirth of this experience for me came through my wife having a contrast session and coming back to Milwaukee and saying we need more of this, and then she wouldn't stop talking about it. The business partners that she has wouldn't stop talking about it. So we explored it. We reached out to Jamie to see what her future growth plans were, and she was looking more for a partner than an investor, and we saw an opportunity in that.
We're talking with James Sharparsky from Hot Spell Sauna, located at McKinley Marina, right down on beautiful Lake Michigan. So you mentioned your co-founder, Jamie Meyer, as a partner.
Yep.
What convinced you, other than your wife telling you, wow, Milwaukee and Wisconsin really needs this, What really convinced you of the business opportunity with saunas?
Sure. There was a couple different things. I saw the opportunity from the financial aspect, health and wellness, the trends that are happening in the United States with the younger generations, and also the actualization of longevity with the generations that we fall into. I call myself from the late 1900s, so the adjustments we're making now so that we have some longevity was one. And then I had an experience with Jamie. She hosted a session in her backyard. I was immediately hooked by the way that I felt. It's like a prolonged runner's high, if you've ever experienced that. And then to layer over, I saw what was happening with the community, the conversations, the connections within that sauna when we were all doing it together. And it all just kind of made sense, which is a reflection of what you just said about the community, the park, the wellness, everything that's going on is just really what happens inside that sauna.
Kind of the healthy, community-focused gathering spots. I mean, that's what people are looking for in terms of building connections. In terms of the conversations and the connections that happen in the spas, is there some kind of psychological difference there because 100%. Of the state that you're in when you're in a sauna? You're just like, all right. We need to connect on a deeper level.
I think even before that, before the sauna heat relaxes your muscles and starts to, you know, take that stress that you've carried into the room out, we're all sitting in there in our swimsuits. We're sweating together in an awkwardly close, confined space. Yes, there's windows and you can extend that space out. But because everybody is comfortable, it doesn't matter if they could barely afford the session or they've got enough money to fund, you know, whatever business venture they have, they're inside that space sharing that time together. And it gets rid of that hi, hello, first date type of awkwardness, and you jump right in. Then you loosen up after the second cycle through the heat, and the conversations really start to flow, whether it's good or it's a moment that somebody's willing to share and be supported in. You know, there's not another experience, I think, where people gather like this. You call it a bar, you call it a restaurant, you call it the sauna, you call it the gym, where everybody around that individual is going to support whatever comes out of them in that moment. There's always somebody at the bar, you got a table of six that doesn't want to be there. Their mind's on their dog, their kids, whatever responsibility they have outside of that space. Everybody that's there is there for a great time. They come with that open mind. They might be worried about the experience, but they leave having a really nice time because those guards are down. You're in your swimsuit. All of the awkwardness of getting to know somebody's already on the table.
We're talking with James Sheparski from Hot Spell Sauna. James, when we come back, I'm sure there's some intrepidation, if you will, for first-timers. Like, what do I bring? How do I do this? What's that kind of first true session with a hot, cold cycle look like? And what should I really be prepared for? So when we come back, I want to have you walk us through the process for a first-timer. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. We are here, kind of this wonderful time of winter, James, that, you know, it's not too hot, not too cold. We're looking forward to spring, but at the same time, it's winter, and it's perfect sauna weather. So if I haven't been to a sauna outdoors, I'm going to Lake Michigan, I'm going to McKinley Marina for the first time, how do I prepare for that first session? Mentally, physically, what do I bring? What does it look like?
Well, you're going to psych yourself out about the cold. Everybody does about the cold water. But again, you don't have to do what you're not comfortable doing. The hardest part is just showing up and getting there. Being introduced to an outdoor activity in Wisconsin in the winter is still a little bit foreign to people. We do have some really well-attended outdoor activities, Mitten Fest, some of the other things, going to a Packers game when it's snowing and frigid out. But this idea of congregating socially, doing something is foreign. That's the hardest part. If you show up with a couple towels, a bottle of water, and your swimsuit and an open mind, you'll have a great time. Okay. We have staff on that walk you through the process of how to actually do it.
And there are changing rooms or
we do have changing right areas. There. We use the restrooms at the roundhouse, the heated bathrooms. There are men's and women's restrooms with three stalls each, so people can change and freshen up there. Each of our saunas has a little cubby area for storage so you could store your personal items. We also have a what we call the woodshed for larger bags and other items that are more bulky. And again, our staff is there throughout the experience to guide you or answer any questions or to introduce you, come in the sauna, ask if you'd like the steam, explain what the steam does, how to ladle the water over the rocks, because it comes up and it'll burn your hand if you don't do it the right way.
And give us a kind of a range of prices and how to book.
Sure. Yeah. We charge $37 for a social session, which is 75 minutes.
Okay.
It typically gets people between 3 and 4 cycles between the heat and the cold, depending on how you expose yourself to the cold. And there's tax added on of that. We do private sessions for $395 for up to 20 people. So that becomes a value for people that want to throw a get together. They just want to bring all of their friends. You know, for those people that haven't come, I always say just grab a friend, do something new together. You'll have a great time and not be disappointed.
And is it hot first and then cold?
What do you recommend
in terms of timing?
Sure.
Is it like, well, I'm going to be in the sauna for 14 minutes and then it's right into the lake, or what does that look like?
You'll read a lot online about thresholds. We tell people to follow what they're comfortable with. We do recommend heat first and then cold. That's what will kind of unlock that longer lasting euphoric sensation on the back end that you do get from one visit to us. But
proper breathing also. As I'm listening and watching you speak, I'm taking deep breaths because I know, like, I've done cold plungers before. Like, you have to be in that right state.
You do.
And it just... it makes everything
else feel
well.
And that's applicable on the hot side, too. I say, you know, when you feel like we're taking a stroll and we walk up Lafayette Hill, you know, and go to the east side, maybe we're not winded, but you catch your breath a second, that's when you start to think about getting too hot. You stay in another minute, you use your breath, both hot and cold, to kind of get through that initial phase and then and remove yourself. But typically 10 to 15 minutes in the heat,
okay,
a minute to 2 minutes in the cold. But again, follow your body, listen to what's comfortable for you. It's not, again, a roller coaster where you get on, you can't get off if you want to get out of the sauna early or you want to get out of the water early.
Hot Spell Sauna at McKinley Marina on Lake Michigan. James, have you noticed, I'm guessing you have regulars that are just part of this toolkit to deal with what? Stress and grief, chronic pain, life transitions. Like, what's the why that the regulars are coming to sauna for?
It really is all of it. And that was one of the more surprising things to me, is every single box you could define, there's a check mark in there. We have somebody's waiting on a hip transplant until after our season because she likes the cold water. We have people that come that have experienced personal trauma. We have people that have come post-injury for recovery. We have people that come to kind of dial out all the noise mentally. It does zap all of that extra noise that you constantly carry.
Yeah.
And we have people that come because they've given up on modern medicine and they use this treatment or as a treatment. Those people are there 5 or 6 days a week. And so we do have people that come on rotation once a week, twice a week, 3 times a week, and they leverage it for whatever balance they need. It could be a physical exertion, it could be a mental exertion, or it could just be that social outlet they're looking for.
Yeah. So looking ahead, just from a business perspective, what do the next couple seasons look like? What does success look like for you? Is it more locations? Is it longer seasons and sessions? Is it different forms of revenue? Like, what do you look at this from a true business standpoint? Because you want to continue to grow.
Absolutely. I think growth is a key component. It's something that we saw when we got involved in this and then realized that it's something that the community wants. And it's really satiating the demand from the community. I would say anything is on the table. And what I've learned in entrepreneurship is you kind of have to follow the river and the flow of the river every once in a while. And
just
that
jump
adjusts.
In the river. Let it go.
You know, 3 years ago, would it have been our plan to move 3 locations in the last 3 seasons? Absolutely not. We want a home base. We want consistency. We want to open a business that provides that relationship to people that they can count on us for this. So with growth, that could be multiple locations. That would be permanence to be able to offer this service year-round to people. With the natural elements, obviously, we have some thresholds we have to deal with. But growth and success would be continuing to meet the demand of a growing market. You know, you brought up earlier that this is something that is growing significantly in Wisconsin. Jamie founded this on the front end of that, but we're inspired by the way that the community is accepting this, from the big cities like Milwaukee to the small towns across the state where these are popping up and becoming community resources for people.
We're talking with James Sheparski from Hot Spell Sauna. James, you have a favorite moment maybe this winter that you've witnessed in the sauna? You don't have to name names, but like something that really captures what community building is all about for
you. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the general idea is the openness people share in the sauna. One specific moment, I was down there and there was a guest who you know, could open any door in the city if they wanted to. And he popped out of the sauna, and there were a couple, you know, 20-somethings around the fire pit enjoying a couple cheap beers, as Wisconsinites do, from a ratty old Coleman cooler. And he sat down at the fire, and they said, hey, do you want a beer? And they had a beer together and shared a moment in time that I don't think their paths would have ever crossed again. And it was a beautiful moment because there was no awe. It was just the same people doing the same thing at the same time. And that's really what the foundation of this community is. It doesn't matter what opinions you have. It doesn't matter where you come from. You can sit down and share a conversation with anybody.
I mean, and that's what access at our lakefront is all about as well. I mean, it's about building the connections and making those collisions that create community.
Absolutely.
So finally, where can people go, James, to book a session? Or I'm guessing you do memberships as well?
Yeah, we do a couple different offerings. You can just buy a singular session or a private session. We also do memberships and then packages for people that want a little bit more flexibility. They can head to our website at hotspellsauna.com. To access any of the booking or answer questions, we're always available at info@hotspellsauna.com to answer any questions. There are a lot of people with, you know, I've never done this before questions, right. And I'm there all day long answering those. And
all the FAQs are there for sure. Is there an end to the season?
We're currently trying to extend it. We're on the books with the parks through April 12th.
Okay.
But we're hoping that that will
Could you
have
run it through the summer?
Into some uncontrollables in regards to weather, electrical storms, and then, you know, water quality in the summer because of temperatures. And, you know, our threshold is really at 60 degrees, 59 degrees and under is the ideal.
Okay.
So as Lake Michigan warms, there would be a time that we would exceed that threshold and it would be a different experience. But, we could figure out a way. We always would.
You never know where innovation is going to come from.
I'm not a no guy.
Very good. James, again, appreciate you taking time out. All the best this winter season, and we'll see you at the lakefront very soon.
Thank you so much for the time.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Finally, today, Saturday, from 12 to 3 at Havens Woods State Forest. Really cool local event called Winter Break. It's free. It's a community festival for boosting your mood. Havenswood State Forest, if you don't know, it's just west of Sherman Boulevard on Douglas Avenue. You have that main entrance that leads right up to the parking lot into the Nature Center. Winter Break today from 12 to 3. Lot going on there. Bonfires, a lot of fun winter stuff. You can do some bird watching. There's sled dog petting. There is fat tire biking. There are lawn games. Indoor stuff, too. Candle making, tea tasting, weaving, documentary movies, fireside poetry. It's Community Building 101 at Winter Break from 12 to 3 today at Havens Woods State Forest. I want to end today, keeping on this community theme, with a little love letter, if you will, to something that I think a whole lot of us take for granted. And that's the neighborhood post office. You're like, all right, Jeff, why are you talking about the post office? Well, my kids are doing all this like secondhand Depop selling. So they're selling like all their hoodies and trying to make extra money for the upcoming summer. So I'm going to the post office a lot because I'm a good dad and I'm trying to help them out. So they're selling all this stuff online. And you know, they give me the QR code and they slap the label on and they ship it and they make a couple bucks. It's good. It is retail 101 on the kid level. In my case, the appreciation from the post office level is the Shorewood Post Office on Capitol Drive. It is this unassuming, wonderfully old school brick building that quietly keeps our lives and our businesses moving day to day. Think about it. A lot of people are kind of, you know, like, I don't know. I haven't bought a stamp in forever. I don't know how much they cost. They're 78 cents. 78 cents is a stamp price right now. You drop a letter in that little blue box and it finds its way to anywhere in America for 78 cents. That is crazy. That is a wild bargain even here in 2026 when everyone's talking about affordability and high prices. 78 cents gets that letter anywhere. With the web of people and processes that none of that stuff makes headlines, but it's efficient and it's really beautiful. So behind the counter at your local post office, or all the routes where your neighbors have the keys to the blocks and they know the small businesses and the people and the places, the elders, the habits, all those little quirks of a community, it happens in our local post offices. So, I don't know. I'm just saying, appreciate these civic assets that many times we take for granted. And when you see your mail carrier today, say thank you. Because it's not an easy job. They're out there in the elements every day. They're making sure that your letter, for what? 78 cents gets anywhere it needs to go when it needs to be there. Appreciate the small, steady institutions and those strong fabrics that make our community good. We'll see you next week. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ.